Well, Jules, lots for us to get to today. A 2-1 win for the Jays, their 18th win in Grapefruit League play. They finished the spring as winners of the league, but, you know, we're being honest, not a lot to get to from this game other than Chris Bassitt departing healthy and looking good in the process. So that's always a big positive to wrap up spring training. But I think the big news from the weekend has been our discussions throughout the spring and confirmed today who is going to make the roster, who's going to start the year in Buffalo, and lots to get to again today now that spring training has officially wrapped up in Florida.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying, Sho, we saw a lot of different names in this game. Everyone is kind of, maybe with a mind already elsewhere. Manager John Schneider certainly seemed to be having his fun last day of camp vibes pretty much all around. Good game, good way to finish this spring for sure for the Blue Jays, but the focus is elsewhere, and we know exactly where it is, and the time has come to sort of shift gears a little bit and get ready for opening day.
So you and I have been doing our roster discussions throughout the spring. People can certainly text us at 590-590, name and location. That's Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali here on Jays Talk. And you can text us about anything you like about your reactions to the roster discussions. And if you haven't heard about those roster discussions, roster decisions, we'll have those right now. We're going to do some bold predictions a little bit later on, including some guest appearances from people both at Sportsnet and outside of Sportsnet, just a couple. So we won't be here too long. We'll do our old bold predictions. We'll read your bold predictions. So lots for us to get to at 590-590, name and location. But, you know, when we were doing our roster discussions, you know, I think we were pretty good in terms of forecasting who was in the driver's seat for certain roles, who wasn't. And, you know, why don't we do the position players first, and then we can get to the pitching updates afterwards. We have a clip from John Schneider, who joined Dan and Buck on the telecast today. But why don't we start with the position players first? Because I think there was some real consternation about who would and would not make it, some rookies that could make it, some younger players we have seen snippets of, glimpses of here and there. We learned today, and I guess yesterday as well, if I count some of the updates from Saturday, we learned that Nathan Lucas, Miles Straw, Alan Roden, Davis Schneider, Will Wagner, and Tyler Heineman have all made the 26-man active roster. If you split it up between 13 batters, 13 pitchers, so they're part of the 13 batters group. Addison Barger was optioned to AAA. So he did not make the Major League roster. We were talking about this in the pregame, but I do want to get your take on this once more, Jules. What was the most surprising move, the biggest surprise for you when you heard those names did and, in Barger's case, did not make the active roster?
Yeah, to me, I would still say that on the position player side, Barger not making the team was the one that surprised me the most, just because of what we had seen from him pretty much all spring. It was a very, very successful spring for Barger. This is someone who can fill certain positions that the Blue Jays were really looking for, those utility guys to step into, which is third base and in the corner outfield positions. Now, I know that we didn't see much from Barger last year in terms of consistency when he came up to the major leagues. It was a tough, tough season for him once he arrived in Toronto. But he seemed to be making up for it with spring play. This looked like a player who had figured something out about himself and about his swing and about his game. And we saw the consistency that we missed last season start to shape up here. And I was pretty certain, honestly, that that Barger had a spot on this team. But then, Sho, you sort of hear John Schneider sort of come into the reasoning of why that was and what it is that the Blue Jays are looking for. It starts to make more sense. He talks about the fact that, yes, Barger has found that consistency, has made significant strides in his game, and the playing time would not be favorable at all for him as a bench player right now with the big league club. So if what they want to see is consistency, and if what they want to see is a continuation of the process that started in this preseason, then sure, it makes sense to option him to AAA and let him get those regular at-bats. It also signals, Sho, that this is someone that the Blue Jays expect to contribute for years to come,
right?
Very much a true prospect for the Jays. So pretty surprising, but obviously also easy to understand sort of the reasoning. And you and I spoke a lot about Alan Roden, right? If Barger is headed for the minors and Alan Roden has made this team, then what does that mean about how the Blue Jays view Alan Roden?
Yeah, exactly. And I think with Barger, the explanation from John Schneider pregame when we learned about this was with Will Wagner and Ernie Clement in the infield, that it didn't really leave a lot of spots for Barger to get playing time in the infield. So then if you view him as an outfielder and you are also taking Lucas and Straw to make sure that Varsho's spot is covered while he's on the IL, which was another thing we learned yesterday on Saturday. I do think this team is carrying maybe like one more outfielder than they need to,
right,
at the very least. You know, maybe Lucas was the guy. And I'm a big fan of Nathan Lucas, but I think Lucas, he didn't have the most impressive spring. And, you had pointed this out in the pregame show that Miles Straw maybe had a slightly better spring than some others, to the point where, you can understand why he ended up being the guy for Varsho's replacement. And again, largely Straw's value is derived from his glove, right, and his work in center field. So I got to think, on opening day, I'd be surprised, knowing that Varsho's on the IL, I got to think Miles Straw will he'll probably bat eighth or ninth and he'll be the starting center fielder, right? I got to think, and maybe they might cycle out Nathan Lucas a little bit,
right?
At least to start. I know Springer played in center field to start this game today here on Sunday, but I got to think Springer is probably going to start the season in right field. And if that's the case, if you believe even Springer's bat is not what it was, if Springer's going to be your everyday right fielder or something close to it, then it just didn't leave a lot of room for Addison Barger. And one of the other things Schneider did say was they want him to play as much as possible. And if that's the case, then he's the only place for him to play as much as possible, I guess, is in Buffalo, essentially.
That's right. And you cannot consider Addison Barger for, other than the corner outfield spots, then if that is what that is for him, when you have Ernie Clement and Will Wagner, then, you need a center fielder, and you need a center fielder that will provide you with something at least fractionally similar to what it is that Dalton Varsho gives you. And that guy, in my mind, is Miles Straw. I don't really care at this point how he got here. I know that his legacy or his story with the Blue Jays will always sort of, remind us of a painful signing that didn't occur. It was a weird situation and kind of a weird spot for a guy to be in coming into a new club. But this is what he has to offer. This is a former Gold Glover. He's someone who has proved himself at center field. And that is what the Blue Jays need from him. If he gives the Jays something offensively the way that he showed in the spring, then the team will be very, very happy, obviously. But that's not what he's here for. And so when you're talking about building a winning squad, that is what this means. It means considering every facet of the game and making some tough decisions, delivering some bad news. It's just how it goes with roster construction. And those final days of camp, good news and bad news.
There's a text here on the text line, 590-590, name and location. Hey, show, no name on this one, so just give us a name so I can give you a shout out. But hey, show, would Springer in center field be the worst thing in the world for a month until Varsho is back? At least a few days a week. Just seems like that would optimize the offense instead of keeping both Straw and Lucas on the roster while optioning Barger. It gives more playing time for Roden as well if Straw and Lucas aren't in the lineup. I do think this person is onto something in the sense that I don't think you will see, especially when Varsho comes back, I don't think you will see both Miles Straw and Nathan Lucas in the roster. One of those guys, and they both have options remaining, at least according to Fangraphs. Maybe that hasn't been updated for the coming season, but at the very least, as of the second, it says they both have options. So I'll believe it's true. So if that is the case, then you can send one of them down whenever you want, essentially, right? So if that is the case, then you probably can afford to be a little more fluid with how you treat all of the roster spots for the outfield. And let's say four spots, right? The fourth outfielder. And I think it's interesting because the way it's currently constructed, Varsho on the IL, Straw in center field, Springer in right, and question mark in left field, because in theory, it's Anthony Santander. But if you have Alan Roden on your roster, right, and you have David Schneider on the roster, you can afford to now, and we'll see how it actually works out. They're going to certainly try it to start the season. I don't know if this is actually going to be the greatest thing for the roster, but you can have Santander DH more or less every day, have Springer in right, have whoever, Straw, Lucas in center field until Varsho returns, and it's Varsho. And then Alan Roden in left field, if he's hitting the cover off the baseball like he had in the spring. I mean, David Schneider is a candidate for that spot as well. But I mean, to the texture's point about Springer in center field, I feel like we're probably going to see it. I mean, I don't think we saw it one time last year. Maybe we did see it exactly one time
for
one game. I think we saw it
for 9 innings is what he has.
So if that's the case, then maybe we get a couple of times, like total, in the time Varsho misses. And I just can't help but think also that Varsho is, he's not going to miss a whole month. You know what I mean? Like he probably will miss like a week or 2 weeks. John Schneider saying, pregame. Now I'm confused if he said this in the pregame or during the game.
I think
game
it was
too,
during the broadcast. During the game, what you're thinking of?
Yeah. So he said that he's going to come to Toronto for get his Gold Glove, and then he's going to go back to Florida for to get his work in and so on. So if that's the case, I have a feeling it's just going to be like 10 to 14 days,
right?
Probably not a whole. That's the equivalent of like three, maybe four series. So if that's the case, it's probably not the worst thing in the world. But in that time frame, I wouldn't be shocked if Springer saw like two or three starts in center field.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of a health concern with Springer as well, right? Which was what prompted sort of the big move when it came to take him out of center field and put him in right. And so if you believe that he can withstand the workload of center field, then sure, by all means. I don't see this as an everyday solution just because there is a reason why the Blue Jays made a move as big as that one. Yeah. And so you kind of, you know, he played today because the Blue Jays wanted to see what he looked like and if he could handle it. He made a pretty good catch early on in the game that was pretty impressive. Yeah. You could see him sort of grinning and, you know, everyone knows where he is in his career and the health concerns that have come with Springer, especially over the past couple of seasons. So we may see him a little bit more in center field to start the year. I would imagine that would come as a defensive substitution or maybe just a change.
That's fair.
You know, if there's a pinch hit situation or something like that, then you may see Springer get a couple of innings at center. I would be shocked, Show, if he got
like a full-on start
in center field. But crazier things have happened, and the Blue Jays are all about staying creative. So that would be a pretty creative move. If, you know, in the past it would have been the tradition or the norm, but this is where we are now. George Springer in center, pretty creative.
If I say to you, when we do our bold predictions before we go, if I say to you George Springer will start, like on the year, he will make like five or more starts in center field this year.
Is that a bold?
Okay. All right.
I'd say that's a pretty bold
prediction. I'm going to add that to my list on the fly. I did not have that written down, but I'm going to add that to my list.
I love that.
Not five. You know, I'm going to think about the number. Maybe the number is like 0.5. Like the over under is 0.5 or 1.5 or whatever. Let's talk some pitching, though. We haven't got to the pitching yet. And let's play a piece of audio from the game. This is John Schneider. So him talking with Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez during the game, and he was asked initially about his reaction to Max Scherzer pitching yesterday and Scherzer's stature in the rotation, which obviously the first turn through the rotation begins on Thursday, where Scherzer stands vis-a-vis the order of the starting rotation, and then he breaks some news via the final two bullpen spots. So let's hear John Schneider chatting with Dan and Buck.
So I think as of now, we're looking at him to be game three on Saturday versus Baltimore, line it up that way with Chris going on game four and Bowden being in the five hole. So nice to kind of check that off before we get out of here and get that settled. And can't say enough about him as a pitcher, as a competitor, as a teammate. Max is just raising the bar here so much.
So that kind of solidifies the rotation and moves Yariel Rodriguez to the bullpen. That locks up another spot there, but it feels like there may be still a couple of things to decide in the bullpen. Richard Lovelady is still a part of this. Tommy Nance is still a part of this. I know there's some contractual things maybe going on with Jacob Barnes and Ryan Yarbrough. What are you able to tell us as Guerrero hits one just foul up the line? What are you able to tell us about the last couple of spots in the pen?
Yeah, I can break a little news here with you guys here live. But yeah, Yariel sliding into that pen roll, he offers length. He can be one inning, he can be two innings. I think early in the year, with him being built up in his pitch count, it's nice to kind of have that safety net of a sixth starter in our pen. And we're going to use him, you know, however we see fit. You know, we're confident, when we signed him, that he can throw an inning and be really good. So happy with where that landed with him. And then that's down. Felix. Vlad, sorry, it's out. That would have been a ball, though.
He wants to challenge, but yeah. Vladdy doesn't know the challenge says the ABS system isn't working today. Sorry, Vlad.
Vlad's going to have to take another AB. Yeah. He can't end his spring on that. But the last couple spots, we've informed some guys here since I talked to you guys last. Jacob Barnes and Richard Lovelady will be joining us, and they're going to take up the final two spots of the team. Had a, you know, give some tough news to Tommy Nance before the day here today. And Ryan Yarborough, unfortunately, took his out and is going to explore other opportunities. And like where we landed, though, I think that having two lefties is key. And like what we've seen from Love this spring and getting an old face back with Barnsey, who's adjusted his pitch mix quite a bit with the split and the slider. He's had a good camp. So those are the final two.
So there you go. That's John Schneider speaking to the media. Not the media. I guess Dan and Buck are parts of the media. But speaking to Dan and Buck on the broadcast during today's 2-1 win. So there you go. Richard Lovelady and Jacob Barnes make it. Ryan Yarborough and Tommy Nance do not, for a variety of reasons. So I assume Tommy Nance is going to be exposed to waivers because he was out of options. And Ryan Yarborough, we had learned this yesterday, but that he had triggered the free agent opt-out clause. And the Blue Jays, either to avoid that, he had to be added to the roster, and he was not, right? So he is now going to be a free agent. And I suppose barring him signing with another team, which I guess could come as soon as now, essentially,
right.
There could be a reunion down the road, I suppose. We'll see. But as of right now, no Yarborough, no Nance, Lovelady and Barnes make it. I admit I don't Lovelady that decision too much, Jules. I was a fan of Yarborough. Now, you know, Lovelady was boo. Lovelady last year was relatively effective for the Rays. So maybe he can recapture some of that Rays magic. But I admit, neither him nor Barnes make me particularly right. excited about that part of the bullpen. It does also leave you with the only, again, I'm using air quotes here, true long man as Y-Rod, right? Yariel Rodriguez ends up being the only real guy you want to put in that role. I guess others can do it in a pinch, but he's the guy who has gotten the most in that role, which is funny because last year was his first ever year in Major League Baseball. So, well, I guess we'll see what the options are for long relief roles going forward.
So I got to say, I think that you should keep this flair going into the regular season as well.
I thought you were going to say, don't quit your other day job.
I think you are at your best when you are trying out these puns that either go very, very well or extremely poorly. And I'll leave it up to our listeners to decide where that one fell. But yeah, it's, you know, you kind of look at the options here. I think you and I were both pretty sure that Yarborough was going to end up making that team just because he does offer that length and he is a left-hander on his own, you know, by himself, would fill that role for the Blue Jays as well if they needed him to. That would free up Y-Rod to be used maybe to the maximum of his potential here when it comes to, you know, the pretty electric fastball and things of the sort. If you could max him out and make sure that he could fill that one inning role for you, it seemed pretty intriguing to have Y-Rod in that position rather than, you know, a long man. But at the same time, the Blue Jays have kept him stretched out for a reason. It has always been at least in the back of their minds that this could be part of the plan. And, you know, it's going to be fine as well because we saw that he can hold his own. We certainly saw that from Yariel Rodriguez last year through the ups and downs, is that he's ready and he can hold his own. And pitching out of the bullpen is how he found his success when he was in Japan. So don't mind that side of it. It was just a little bit of a surprising development, especially when you look at Max Scherzer and sort of the uncertainties around that thumb. Now, the Blue Jays are confident enough in him to even say that they're tentatively putting him for that number three spot. First series of the year. It's that in itself is pretty unexpected show. I think we were all sort of expecting Scherzer to maybe start at the number five spot. Sure. and get a few extra days to rest and get caught up and things like that.
Saturday home game of the season? I mean, that's a pretty big spot.
Prime spot, absolutely. And obviously he has done more than enough in his career to earn that spot. And the Blue Jays, you know, if that goes according to plan, the Blue Jays should be in pretty good position too. One thing I will say, Joe, just looking at how the rotation would line up, which would be Berríos, Gausman, Scherzer, Bassett, Francis, that is the most intense number three, number four combo you will find in baseball anywhere. Scherzer followed by Bassett. I pity the opponents. I really do.
Yeah, it's true. They are both pretty demonstrative, to say the least, when they are on the mound. It's funny. I think when Bassett was talking with, I think it was Ben and Buck, or maybe it was Ben and Kayla, Ben and Joe, one of the combos on TV, and they, you know, they're doing, much like we heard from Schneider just now, you hear like the in-game interviews after the players are done. And it was funny. I think it was, might have been Dan. But no, you know what? It was Joe. And Joe asked, told Bassett, like, yeah, we can usually tell how things are going, but just by looking at you on the mound. And like, Bassett did not smile or laugh at all. He was just kind of like, yep, that's right, Joe. And, I thought that's hilarious. Bassett's the man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't hate that rotation order. Like mm-hmm. you said, Barrios, Gausman, Scherzer, Bassett, Francis. And so that would essentially line up Bowden to play the first game on the Monday against the Washington Nationals down at the Rogers Center, because it's a four-game series against the Orioles to start the season. Yeah, I honestly don't hate it. It's like your foremost, I don't want to say Francis is not trusted, but you're definitely showing a little bit of more trust in Scherzer for a guy who has like not been on the team before versus all four of the other guys who have been on the team for multiple years, right? So I think that's definitely a positive. In Scherzer's favor, Ian from Ridgeville texting in to say at 590-590 name and location, really looking forward to Thursday. Not sure why Barnes made the team over Yarbrough though. So I do want to get to that with you as well before we get to our bold predictions. Barnes over, I guess not just over Yarbrough, just Barnes on the bullpen in general, right?
Right.
I mean, versus Fluharty. If Fluharty had made it, I suppose it would have been a third lefty if you count Lovelady and Little as well. But again, I mean, Schneider said it in the little snippet we played there that he feels confident in what Barnes has had, but I wonder what his stature on the team is, because can you really see Barnes getting into games in like high or even like medium leverage situations? I feel like I can't, honestly.
I cannot. I'll tell you that much. I don't expect Jacob Barnes to, or Richard Lovelady matter to see a ton of high leverage spots, but if Tommy Nance had made this team, I wouldn't expect him to get the high leverage spots. And obviously Yarbrough is a different discussion entirely, especially when it comes to contractual developments. That's so hard to pinpoint at times and hard to control, honestly. But, Jacob Barnes is obviously someone who's had a ton of experience in the majors, more experience than someone like Nance, for example, has found some success, has shown enough in the spring, and that's kind of what the Blue Jays are probably looking at here. It's very much someone who can come in and fill different roles depending on what you're needing, but don't expect him to see a ton of high leverage spots there, Show.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. And again, I mean, Little is probably the most trusted, like true quote unquote lefty on the roster, because I mean, right now, like Schneider said, they only have two lefties, and the other lefty being Lovelady. So you also have Nick Sandlin, who we did see in this game today, and he looked pretty good, all things considered, as did Brendan Little. But Sandlin is he's not a left-handed pitcher, but as we've discussed throughout the spring, he has the splitter, which he can throw to lefties. So I guess he kind of takes that Trevor Richards-ish role. If you were just comparing to previous years, he takes that role, and like the Tim Mazza role goes to Brendan Little, and then you kind of just have another left-handed pitcher in Lovelady. So, you know, a lot of moving parts.
Right.
Swanson, Burr are going to be on the IL to start the season. We kind of figured, because I mean, they hadn't pitched basically all spring, so we'll probably see them at some point this year, which means that we're probably going to be rehaving these discussions about Barnes and Lovelady, whether or not they get like DFA'd or optioned. I haven't looked at their options, but I think Lovelady is out of options. I'm not sure about Barnes without looking it up, but I got to think these are the conversations we're going to be having when it comes to like, hey, will Swanson pitch this year? Or when will he pitch this year? Will Ryan Burr pitch this year, for example, right? Will they sign like David Robertson or something? Like there are a lot of options for the bullpen. That's Julia Kreutz. I'm Show Ali. You're listening to Jay's Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We got about 20 minutes left here, Jules. So before we say goodbye, let's do our bold predictions and get some bold predictions from the listeners and from some of our guests.
Deal.
Give me one of your bold predictions to start. Because you and I have done this a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And I think you and I have always kind of struggled as to being like super bold or not bold enough.
What is the metric there, right? Where is the middle? And it's tough, Show.
It's tough.
I tend to go the conservative route.
Okay.
You tend to just really get out there, which I love. I love.
And mine are rarely right.
I wish I was more like you, honestly. I wish I had that.
This is your chance.
Well, let's start then. So the first one I got here is Vladdy Bow and Anthony Santander will combine for 90 home runs.
I like that one.
Is that bold enough to your liking?
You know what? I think yes, because okay, so if you're just divvying it up evenly, you're essentially saying that each of them will hit 30 home runs.
Yep.
But in theory, like, you could have a situation where, like, one guy hits 30, one guy hits 40, and one guy hits 10, one guy hits 40, and one guy hits 50, essentially, right? Or
yeah.
You could divvy it up in any number of ways. Now, I mean, will any one of these guys hit, like, 50 home runs this year? Like, I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
That doesn't happen that often.
Right.
For beyond, like, you know, Aaron Judge or whatever. So Shohei Ohtani. So probably not. But again, I like that one. I think that's pretty bold.
Pretty bold?
Yeah.
I'll take it. It's just what we have seen from Bo this spring indicates to me that he is going to have a good year. Now,
right.
I know that Bo is not necessarily a home run hitter in the purest sense. He's line drive guy, right? He hits a lot of doubles and he legs them out and things like that, and that's all great, but he's locked in and he's making a ton of loud contact, and I feel like there's a pretty good chance that a lot of those are going to leave the yard. I don't expect Santander to hit 44 home runs again, but he's been pretty vocal about enjoying hitting at Rogers Center, and it may end up being one of those crazy home and away splits.
Sure.
Where he's doing very, very well at home and ends up giving you at least 30 homers.
Wouldn't mind that.
And as for Vlad, you know, we saw him have a slow start to last season in which he was hitting for average but not for power. And then when the power came, that was really exciting. And if the focus here is consistency, then you can expect him to, you know, maybe be a power guy like Lujic expect him to be right off the gate. Someone else is pretty locked in right now. And, you know, I'd say that the floor of my expectation, at least for Vladdy, would be around the 30 home runs that we saw last year.
On the text line here, 590-590, name and location, Eddie and Fort Erie, to your point, Jules, says, my bold prediction will be Vladdy winning the American League MVP award in his free agent year. Dana in East York texts in to say, Vladdy will have a WRC plus of 165 this year. Now, for those who are not on the up and up on what that means, so for comparison's sake, this is according to Fangraphs. He had exactly 165 WRC plus last year, and he had 166 in 2021. So Dana is essentially saying he will have a season, like, in some fashion, that is equal to or better, I suppose, than the seasons he had last year when he was very, very, very good, and in 2021 when he was the American League MVP runner-up to none other than Shohei Ohtani. So I had a lot of people kind of on the same boat as you, Jules.
Well, I'm glad to hear that we're all going to probably be wrong together. No, I'm kidding. It's too early to be that pessimistic.
Yeah, that's like a July tone.
It's not an
end of March tone. Okay, how many more do you got? How many more bowl predictions?
I have two, but give me one of yours.
Okay, so one of mine. So, okay, you had a Bo Bichette one. I'll give you my Bo one. Bo Bichette will get at least one AL MVP first place vote, and Bo finishes top three in American League MVP voting. So at least one first place vote, because you know how they rank it. I think you can list up to 10 people,
right,
on your MVP ballot, and you can rank them in any order you want. So I think at least one person, probably from Toronto, will rank him number one on the AL MVP ballot, and he'll finish top three in voting just overall.
That is certainly a bold prediction. Well, if he gives us at least 30 homers, then he's probably halfway there. Yeah.
Give me your other two bold predictions, and we'll hear from some of our guests.
Ooh, okay. So my other two are, one of them is about Allan Rodon. Allan Rodon will spend the entire season on the major league roster.
I like that one.
I don't think that he hasn't looked back so far in his minor league career. It has been pretty steady. He's been pretty consistent with figuring out the next steps of his game and just executing and moving up. We have seen that pretty much the whole way. Someone who has been singled out pretty frequently over the spring as an extremely smart hitter, someone who takes the feedback and applies it and really thinks about it and carries it forward. And so just doesn't seem like the type of guy who would look back, who would need a stint, a confidence building stint or whatever it is once he got here. I don't expect him to go without struggling, but it seems like a pretty it would be a pretty cool development. Let's put it like that. If Roden could stick around for the entire season.
Like that one.
My last one is the Blue Jays will finish the season in third place or better in the AL East. Now, right now, Fangraphs has the Blue Jays doing a little bit better than the Rays and a little bit worse than the Orioles. Mm. I'm not super convinced that the Orioles actually have the rotation to make it as well as they did even last year, and certainly when they won 100 games a couple seasons ago. A lot will have to go right for the Blue Jays and wrong for the Orioles, but if we're being bold, I would say that third place or better in this division is pretty bold.
So you're going to pick, I guess, like in some order, Boston and New York above.
That's right. I have no idea. Honestly, I do not have a guess as to who is winning this division, but it is pretty much up for grabs, as is the bottom right now.
Yeah, it's true. I think because of the injuries the Yankees have suffered to their rotation, if the Red Sox rotation can stay healthy, I mean, they did acquire Garrett Crochet, and we'll see if Garrett Crochet holds up because he's never had to pitch like that much in a single season before. And I mean, gosh, they like shut him down early last year because they were worried about it. So and trade value and so on. So I think if that rotation stays healthy and the order hits as you think they're going to hit, I think it'll be the Red Sox. But I mean, the Yankees, at least from a position player standpoint, are I think they don't have Juan Soto, and that's a big loss. But I think maybe across the board they're a little deeper. So I'm with you. It's a hard it's a hard one to parse out. I think I got the Red Sox by a hair, but
by a hair. That, is right.
Yeah, I don't think it is going to be I don't think any team's going to run away with this division. Let's hear from some of our guests before we get to the text line 590-590 name and location. Let's hear from Ben Nicholson Smith. Ben Nicholson Smith, of course, from At the Letters and Sportsnet.ca, caught up with me earlier this morning. So here are Ben's bold predictions for the 2025 Blue Jays season. Happy to be joined now by Ben Nicholson-Smith, our own BNS from Sportsnet.ca, co-host of At the Letters. Ben, how are you?
Joe, I'm doing great. I have a few bold, hopefully bold predictions here for you. So excited for the season, excited to talk some Jays here.
Okay, great. Well, lay them on me. What are your bold predictions as we get closer to the opening day game between the Jays and the Orioles?
All right, so we're going to start with my least bold prediction. This is kind of overarching. I'm going to say that the Blue Jays actually have quite a good offense this year, but that their pitching lets them down. So that's bold prediction number one. Maybe that's not that bold. So let's ratchet it up here. Number two, I'm going to say that Alan Roden made the team in the very last days of spring training. I'm going to say that Alan Roden gets Rookie of the Year votes
like
in 2025. So that's a little more.
That's quite bold. Yeah,
and
I like it.
For my third one, we'll go a little older. We're going to say that within 2 weeks, there has been another extension for the Blue Jays. I'm not saying who. I'm not saying that it is Vlad Jr. I'm not saying that it isn't Vlad Jr. I'm just going to say that within let's say by the end of April, I'm revising this on the fly. By the end of April, we just heard about the Alejandro Kirk extension. By the end of April, there will be at least one more meaningful extension in the Blue Jays orbit. So that's what I'm going to say. Please do not, that is not me trying to hint at a Vlad extension, but I'm just saying that something could happen there. Of course, Vlad being one of the options with some others, like potentially a Dalton Varsho, that's something to keep an eye at. So we'll see where it all goes.
I love the extension one because I believe it was Shai Davidi, our colleague, of course, at Sportsnet.ca, in his piece after the Kirk extension from last night. I believe Shai mentioned that Kirk is now the only player on the team that is extended into the next decade because Jimenez and Santander both have club options for 2030. So in terms of like guaranteed dollars and years, Kirk is the only player on the team extended past 2030, I suppose, which is really interesting because, yeah, I think Bo, Vladdy, and Varsho are the three other logical candidates. So I love the extension one. I really like the Alan Roden one. I love Rookie of the Year races, AL, NL, no matter the sport, frankly. I love it. So I think those two are plenty bold. And I think that'll be suitable for us, Ben. So thank you for doing it.
Yeah, of course. And I will say, too, as someone who sometimes votes on Rookie of the Year, with Rookie of the Year, it's only three places
right
on the ballot. So you really have to be pretty selective, whereas MVP, you get 10. So you can really, MVP, you can toss votes to anyone, basically. But just three, you actually have to be pretty good. So I have high hopes for what Alan Roden can do. We'll see where it all leads. I'm trying to make these bold, so I obviously don't expect them all to be right, but we'll see.
So there you go, Jules. That's Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet.ca at the Letters. At the Letters, of course, will come out pretty much every week, every other week on wherever you get your podcast feed. What do you think of BNS's predictions there?
I love it. And I love how much justification Ben feels like he has. It's okay. We know these are probably not going to come true. If they do come true, you look very, very smart. And if they don't, it's just that was to be expected. But I love it. I think they're very creative. I love the Allen Roden one. And you kind of start believing that it is possible based on what he's done so far, based on the mentality, the mindset, everything is pointing to this potentially being a guy who can impact this team for years to come. And it all starts right here. So, yeah, thanks for doing that, Ben. We appreciate it.
Let's get another one of our guests here before we continue with our bowl predictions. I got a couple more and then I'll read the text line. Here's Keegan Matheson joining us right from Florida. Keegan doing this right before the game today, before he breaking some news about Allen Roden and company making the team. Here's Keegan Matheson and his bowl predictions. Happy to be joined by Keegan Matheson from MLB.com, soon to be published author. I love doing bold predictions. It's so much fun. And ultimately, you know, I think boldness depends it's in the eye of the beholder. I think it does depend on how bold you want to be, how not bold. But I tend to go a little too bold. So I'm curious to hear what you have set for us for bold predictions.
Can I give you two? Can I go broad and then really weirdly specific?
For sure.
Let's do that. Number one, I think that Gausman is the guy that really has a year. I think he's a top three Cy Young guy again. He has looked so good in camp. And last year, so hard to compare, but I continue to be surprised, when I look back and see that Gausman had a 3.83 last year, despite being late in camp, despite kind of battling through the entire season, never looking super comfortable, always kind of chasing things. Just on talent alone, he put up a real, real good year. He looks fantastic this season. I was sitting here, I'm staring at field one here in Dunedin right now, and he was pitching against Philly's minor leaguers yesterday. Now, it's minor leaguers, don't go too crazy, but he was making them look foolish. He looks incredible this spring, and if the strikeouts are there, I think that he gets back to that 2022-23 version of Gausman, which is a legit ace in Major League Baseball. Ace, period. My number two prediction, bold prediction, and I wrote this yesterday, so it's unfortunately in print and audio. I'll have to delete a lot. But Vladdy extends with the Blue Jays on December 10th, 2025. My reasoning being, broadly, Vladdy, I've always thought this is the way it's going to end. If it's going to end with Vladdy extending, I've always believed it was going to be in free agency. The Aaron Judge example is the easy one. But I think Mark Shapiro's comments this week point towards that as well. Letting the market have a seat at the table itself and everyone agreeing on a value at that point. The weird date I am selecting is because if my memory is right, Shohei Ohtani was December 8th. Juan Soto was December 9th. It tends to be right around those winter meetings when the big boy signs his contract. So put me down for December 10th. I might set an alarm in my phone just so I know when to start pre-writing my story, but December 10, 2025.
All right, so if he signs on, like, December 8th, does this mean the bold prediction is wrong?
No, I'm going to give myself, like, a three-day window on either side. Okay. That's when I'll really start BSing it a bit and saying, well, it became official on the 10th. You know, it's I'll be a real crooked media guy who starts stretching the facts a little bit there, but I'll give myself a bit of a range.
That's okay. I'll give you some leeway on that one. Well, I appreciate the bold predictions. Real quick, before I let you go, I did not realize that I was sharing golden grapefruit propaganda on the radio the other day. I legitimately asked Caleb Joseph in a radio interview that I did with him on Friday morning. Caleb, have you ever been on a team that has won the golden grapefruit?
And he was like,
what are you talking about? So I am very happy to learn that. Maybe it's actually the opposite. Maybe I'm actually a little sad to learn that you made it up. But I do think that the golden grapefruit, now that the Blue Jays have, you know, quote unquote, officially won it, I wish it was a real thing, I have to say.
It's got some energy. John Schneider just walked out of the clubhouse here and he said, Keegs, where is it? Where's the golden grapefruit? It's, I think my mistake was giving it too catchy of a name. It sounds real. It almost sounds real. And I've had a couple players, couple staff, even like stadium staff, people coming up to me saying, man, like we tried looking this up. We can't find anything about it. Like, is it real? And then I look even stranger than I normally am probably in this job, where I have to say, no, I was just tired one day. I tweeted it. It really caught on a bit strangely, and it's been fun, man. But a couple of the players, and Schneider especially, has had some fun with it. And, you know, wins and losses don't matter right now, but you'd rather win than lose. This has been a pretty good camp for them. And I told Schneider he should just stick Kirky out in center today. Let Pete Walker pitch. Man, do whatever. It's victory day in Dunedin.
Keegan, before I let you go, remind everyone where they can reserve a copy of your book, because I've been trying to spread the word as much as humanly possible to everyone, including all of my family members. So share with everyone where they can find all the details for your book coming out in June, I want to say.
I hope you got a big family show, I tell you.
I do.
You can find it anywhere on Amazon, Chapters Indigo, or if you've got a local bookshop in your neighborhood you like, I'm into that. So give them the title, the franchise, and let them know my name and the title. They should be able to find it for you, but available easy on Amazon and Chapters right now. Comes out June 3rd, so we're getting there.
One last spring training game today, and then the real thing begins on Thursday, and you'll be down at the ballpark, as always, for pretty much all of them. So I look forward to seeing you down there, Keegs, as soon as this coming weekend. So enjoy the last vestiges of spring, and thanks again.
You got it, buddy. We'll see you back home.
There he goes. Keegan Mathieson from MLB.com with his bold predictions. Gausman, top three Cy Young in the American League. And Vladdy signs an extension on December 10th, 2025. Very precise from Keegan. So,
yeah.
So there you go. Let's bowl through a couple more bold predictions.
Sounds great.
From the text line. And I got
some
as well.
More. Yeah.
Before we say
yours.
Goodbye. We have a couple of minutes. Here, I'm just going to quickly get through my four here, Jules. Okay. So
deal.
I give you the bold Bichette one. Max Scherzer will pitch more than 125 innings this year.
Love
I think
that's
pretty bold, considering we have no idea what's going on with that thumb. So we'll see how many innings he pitches. But I think it would be bold if he pitches more than 125. Alek Manoah will make at least 7 starts, and he will pick up a win in 3 of those starts. Manoah, of course, probably not going to rejoin the team until after the trade deadline, which is at the end of July. So we'll see how many starts he does get in, if that's the case. Andrés Giménez, this is my least bold prediction, I think. Andrés Giménez leads the team in stolen bases and wins a Gold Glove.
Right.
Both of those, I think, are well within the realm of possibility.
I
think that's probably the least bold one. And I think this might be the most bold one. The Blue Jays make the playoffs. They win the wild card series and they advance to the ALDS. What do you
think?
Yeah.
I debated adding that one to mine as well.
Does that mean
Blue Jays
it's bold?
Advance to the ALDS. I thought it was too bold to add to my list. So I would say it's perfect. It's show alley. It has show alley written all over it. Yeah. No, those are great ones, Joe. And you know that I will keep track of them.
Yes, you will. I will keep track of yours as well, though I feel yours are much more likely to come true than mine. Okay, let's get to the text line. 590-590, name and location. Let's see. Shane in Brockville. Shane, very consistent. I appreciate it. Another bold one. George Springer does not finish the year with the Blue Jays. I actually think that is bold because I think he will finish the year with the Blue Jays. So I think that is actually quite bold. And then he also says, another bold prediction is that Bo will win the batting title. And, I mean, hey, it's funny. It's crazy to think that might not actually be that bold if Bo is the kind of guy you expect him to be. But
right.
I think that is definitely a way to look at how everyone views Bo Bichette.
And how it's changed over time. That last year really warped our vision of who Bo Bichette is as a hitter. But, if we had that bold prediction too years ago, it wouldn't be bold at all.
Yeah, exactly. Tom in Etobicoke says, Jays win at least 2 playoff series. That's incredibly bold. That's very bold. Adrian in Scarborough has a trade prediction. He says, Dylan Cease is acquired at the trade deadline by the Toronto Blue Jays. That's an incredibly bold one. Mainly because any just guessing at trades, you know I love the fake trades, but I mean, I don't even know if they have the prospects to pull off a Dylan Cease trade, but that would be an insane trade. Julian in Vancouver, Bo Bichette grabs a minimum of 170 hits. So a lot of Bo Bichette bold predictions. And Adam in Toronto, I'll wrap up on this one. At least three individual Blue Jays, so not the team Gold Glove, right, but the individual Blue Jays win Gold Gloves, which I guess would mean like you'd have to expect Varsho gets another one, Jimenez gets another one.
And then you have Barrios, someone else. And yeah, then you have Vladdy, even Kirk, at this point. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I think
that's
doable.
Pretty possible. Yeah,
I think that's doable.
Oh, I love that one.
It's a really good one.
Defensive awards are, I have a soft spot for those two. It's pretty fun.
So there you go. Those are the bold predictions we got to today. Jules, this is fun. I'm glad we get to do this. And this is actually our final Jays talk until next weekend. It's not like that long, but it's certainly the final Jays talk of the spring campaign. This has been a lot of fun.
We'll always have the golden grapefruit.
We will. We will. I wish it was real. I do admit it. I wish it was real.
Listen, I don't know how Keegan Mathison is going to retrieve the trust of the masses after
broken
that.
Trust. It's true. I still think he tweeted. I think what got me too is he tweeted out a picture of it, and I think he probably just put in like golden grapefruit into like ChatGPT or something. And that's what really got me. But anyways, that's Julia Kreitz. I'm Sho Ali. It was a 2-1 win for the Blue Jays, their 18th win of the spring campaign, but we are getting ready for the real thing, which begins on Thursday. This copyrighted broadcast presented by Authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Julia Kreutz, Dan Shulman, Buck Martinez, Arden Zwelling, Tom Young, I'm Sho Ali. We are out of here. The next time we do this, it will be the real thing. The next Jays Talk will be with Blair and Barker with your phone calls. And for those curious, the schedule this year is much the same as last year. Blair and Barker will handle all the weekday starts before 8 p.m. Eastern. I will handle all the late starts, rain delays, weekend starts. So, you know, usually like 75% to 80%, and for Blair and Barker, and the rest for myself and Julia and a host of others. I'm very much looking forward to it again. Opening day right around the corner. We'll talk to you later.